Well, happy Mother's Day again. I know we said it already, but you guys know that we are made in His image, made in the image of God. Yep. If you do, especially any older reading, read any older books, you're going to hear the Latin for it is Imago Dei. We've said it in church a number of times, and it means to bear the image of God. Where so if you read. In some circles, they'll write a lot about image bearers. So you're an image bearer. You're an image bearer. The imprint of God, the image of God is imprinted on your life. You are not God. You will never be God. We don't ascend to some place where we become God. We're creaturely. If you read any systematic theology that talk about the difference between creator and creatures, and everything that's not creator is creaturely. We're creaturely. But we bear His image. And mothers bear the image of God as well. And so I thought what I'd do today is some unique things in Scripture that show us ways that showcase or show off or reveal the character, nature, and glory of God in our lives that we can, that is transferable, that except for any parts about being pregnant, that's not transferable as much. Like, that's kind of almost exclusive to moms. But we can learn things from that, as you'll see in just a little bit. So this could be kind of fun. So Mother's Day. We're going to just start with some scripture. And we've got a few points. And hopefully we learn what we can learn from moms. Isaiah 66, verse 13 says this. It's kind of just one verse picked out of a whole section in Isaiah there. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. Now, if you've read any Old Testament stuff, things can get intense in the Old Testament, right? Yes? Agree? Like, it can be pretty wild. There's wars and violence, and it's, you know, woe is me. And there's lots of intensity. And so there was a moment here where God is saying, I'm going to show up, and I'm going to bring comfort. And here's the hard part, is us as creatures, do you guys remember Genesis 1, the garden, kind of the creation story? We talk about it all the time. What did God do with Adam in the cool of the day? He walked with him. So there was this connection, there was a, you know, however that looked and worked, I don't really know. But there was this connection. Well, God is spirit. Correct? We are spirit wrapped in flesh. It is hard for we can interact with our own spirit and we can sort of engage with other people's spirit and we kind of know how to engage with the Holy Spirit, but we're kind of at a loss sometimes because God's invisible. He's spirit. We sense His moving and His working. We hear His voice internally, but we don't hear His voice like I hear, you know, Rick's voice or Brian's voice. We don't see Him like I see Crystal or Judy. Like, our senses in that way, so we're at a disadvantage because we're used to operating most of our life. Now imagine if you guys just on your way home, you're just like, you know what, I'm just going to drive by the Spirit. We hope the Holy Spirit's involved, yes, but you're like, you know what, I'm going to crucify my flesh and I'm going to drive by the Spirit. And you just kind of kick back and you're just like, I'm not going to engage in any of my physical senses because they might throw me off from my spiritual walk with Christ. And so as I drive today, it's just going to be by the Spirit. Now, can God do that? Yes, I think so. Should you try that? No. Let's just say resounding no. You should not try to drive by the Spirit if that means you're not going to look at the road or listen for honking horns or whatever that is. We engage with our senses all the time. And it's hard for us to take some of these spiritual principles sometimes because God's invisible. Feels like I haven't preached to you guys for a long time. Man, I love this church. I was just talking about it yesterday. We had a great men's meeting yesterday and just talking about the things that God's doing in this place. I just love you guys. So, sorry, I'll cut that out of the broadcast. But I just had a moment. I just had a little love. In our family, we call them love bubbles. Just had a little love bubble for you guys. So often God will use analogies or ways that He can take things. For instance, Jesus, have you ever heard of a parable? A parable? It's a story so that He'll say the kingdom of God is like, you know, a mustard seed. Or if kingdom of God is like And he'll say different things in ways that we can relate to. So that's kind of what God is doing here. God said, I'm going to comfort you in Jerusalem. I'm going to show up and I'm going to interact with your life in a way that is to your benefit. And it's going to bring you this particular benefit that I'm going to bring is comfort. Now, what is comfort? How would you describe comfort? Yeah? Comfort. Something is restful. Yep. Why would someone need to be comforted? Because that's what he said he's going to do. I'm going to comfort you. What's that? Absolutely. Yeah. When do we need comfort? When we're distraught, when we're full of anxiety, when we're sad, when we're struggling in life, you know, when we're frustrated by maybe this is not fair or whatever it is. So there could be any number of those situations going on. God said, I'm going to show up and I'm going to bring comfort into your life. I'm going to interact with you. You're going to sense me in the form of comfort. Now, he could have just left it there, but he wanted to make sure that they understood. And so he used an analogy. I'm going to comfort you. How, what? I don't know. He could have picked a lot of different things. But he picked the thing that most represented to us could instantly have a reaction to. I'm going to comfort you as a mother comforts her child. Why? Because how many of you have been children at one time or another? Right? Most of you didn't launch right into adulthood. But this is the God of the universe. He could pick anything he wants to pick. And I just love that he picked the one analogy that we would resonate with right away. Any of you remember a time, you don't have to say it out loud, but can you remember a time that your mom comforted you? You know, maybe some of you didn't grow up, but probably maybe had a mom figure in your life. And mothers are great at comforting. Why do you suppose that God did not say, I will comfort you as a father comforts his child? Yeah. Anyone ever got comfort from a dad before? And you laugh. You know why you laugh? Because you know dads. It didn't matter how stupid you were. And whatever you did, you run to mama, and she's going to be like, in some version, some mamas are maybe a little less caring or whatever, but as a whole, mamas are going to be like, oh, come here, honey. And they have this way of just kind of connecting with you, and you just know mama's going to kiss it, right? I'll put bacteria and germs in your life. Somehow that makes it better. It does, though. I don't know. Kiss it, mama. But they have this way of imparting something from them, this security and this safety and this care and this loving kindness and wrapping their arms around you. Why don't you run to dad? The dad's way of comforting is they run to you and they go, huh? Bet you won't do that again. Anyone ever heard that before? Or some version of that? And that's why there's always kind of this tension between moms and dads, because the mom's knowing, I've got to comfort this when everything's broken in the end, and dad's going, I'll just say, yeah, that was cool, whatever. True story, I got to tell my dad a little bit. I remember two distinct times that my dad was there when something terrible happened. One, I was quite small, and I was playing with an electric fence and a hammer. And if you held the hammer and kind of grounded it out on the post, the sparks would jump or whatever. And it was so cool. I was just talking and talking. Well, pretty soon I ended up grabbing the head of the hammer and did it. And I don't know if you know anything about electricity, but the head of the hammer is metal. And that's where the electricity is running through. And so I got quite startled, scared, hurt. I'm sure I was almost dead, probably. And my dad just said, oh, you just got scared. That was it. There's nothing more, like no great. He just left me. Ah! Won't do that again. And the other time, this was nothing. This was not his fault. But you know, kids help out on the farm, right? Or, yeah, we did against our wills, but we did. I don't know if you remember this or not, but you took the cab off the skid loader, and you wanted to cut it down so that you could get in the other skid loader because apparently we didn't want to do the work, and so you needed to clean out the other barn. And so you were using the torch, cutting the top off the skid loader. You remember that whole incident, Dad? Do you remember this? So he's cutting all of this great, you know, whatever you call it, heavy steel that's, you know, see-through that stuff, whatever. So he's cutting that all off, and he wants to make sure it falls down safely. So, hey, son, put your leg up here. So I did, you know, and that's probably what I would have done as well, just to make sure that it doesn't, you know, slide off or hit anything else. And so I put my leg up there. Well, there must have been a weld that hadn't gotten cut all the way through. Whatever happened, when he cut the last one, it flipped around, and the hot chunk of metal gouged a big chunk out of my leg. And it was pretty significant. I was sure I was dying. And it happened so fast I didn't feel it. And I'm like, oh. And then a little while later, I looked down, you know, blood's running out, and pulled up my leg, and there's a big hole in it, and like I'm queasy, and there was no comfort. There's none. It was something like, huh. Won't do that again. Yes. I didn't. I never did that again. Probably helped me, you know, I don't know if he even embraced me. He probably just scooted me along up to the house, and we went to the hospital, and they wanted to give me stitches, and I think I got, that was probably my only stitches. I know, they don't even remember. Traumatic. In my life, they're like, yeah, we don't even know. It probably happened, I know, we believe you. I have the scar. Yeah, mom will take care of it. So as a mother comforts her child, so God uses this analogy. He's like, you get how mother's comfort works. Imagine that. Imagine what you feel like when mom comes and makes it all better. God's telling Jerusalem, I'm going to comfort you like that. And that's one thing we can learn from moms, is that they're reflecting the comfort of God when they're comforting us. So guys, back off a little bit, because they're just doing what they're made to do. Sometimes we're like, oh, just let them go. And there's a healthy balance there. But they're doing what God created them to do. They're comforting. So the first one is mother's comfort. And we can, and that's something we all can participate in, whether you're a mother or not. Dads, you can step up your game a little bit. Brothers, comfort your sisters a little bit. Next verse, Isaiah 49, verses 13 through 15. Sing for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains. Why? For the Lord has comforted his people. Now, well, I've got another word. And will have compassion on them in their suffering. These are two different words. Comfort, we know it comes alongside of us. He makes us feel better. But compassion, that's deeper. That's like entering into our situation. And it's working for our good to help resolve that situation. Comfort's more just making us feel better. And God's saying, I'm going to have compassion on them. Watch this now. Yet Jerusalem says, here's what Jerusalem is feeling. They're feeling this. The Lord has deserted us, and the Lord has forgotten us. The Lord has, they're crying out and they're saying this to God, or about God. God has deserted us. God has forgotten us. Let me ask you a question. In your walk with Christ, and you're in your life, have you ever felt that, and maybe you didn't even want to entertain that thought, but if you were going to be honest about it, God's forgotten me. God's deserted me. God has left me alone. You know, and some other cheesy Christian's going to come up, and God will never leave you or forsake you, but yet inside you've got this rawness that you're struggling with. I feel that, like, and I, in your mind is saying, you know, that's not true, because you know the Word of God, So it's really careful. You got to be careful what you do in those situations that we turn to the Word. But I love that the Bible is raw and real enough to say, here's how people feel sometimes. Feel like God has abandoned us. God has rejected us. God has forgotten us. So God's saying, I'm about to have compassion. And there's these people that are saying, well, God, he doesn't even remember us anymore. He's forgotten us. He's left us. And so the next verse says this, never. This is verse 15. This is the very next verse. Can a mother, here's how God said. God said, I want to give you an analogy. I want to show you how much I haven't forgotten you. And again, he goes to the mother. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Now stop just a second. He wouldn't have had to put that in there. He could have said, listen, guys, I'm God. You're not abandoned. Stop acting so dumb. He could have acted like a dad, you know? Like, you're not forgotten. If I'm going to forget you, I'll tell you. You know, like, he could have said that. And he's God. He can say whatever he wants. How dare you not trust me? I told you I wasn't going to leave you. Now you're thinking, oh, he left us. God didn't say that. He takes the mom and brings her into the situation as something that they can instantly connect with. Because has it ever been, do you guys know when you're at your lowest points, whether it's, sad or lost or whatever it is? It's hard to make your thoughts make sense, isn't it? Like, you know the right thing to do maybe, but it's hard to process through things when you're really vulnerable, when you're really going through tough times. Jerusalem was going through a tough time, and they needed something that could bypass their mind. Because God could have just said, listen, I am the Lord, and I'll be there for you. Trust me. Mark my words. And they would have still been gripped with this overwhelming dread and this feeling that God's left us. So God intervenes, and he says this. I'm God. Oh, yeah, I know. Like your mom, right? He steps in and says, like a mom. He said, can a mother forget her nursing child? And they're saying, God forgot us. And he's saying, can a mom forget her child? Can she? Now, if it's dad, I watched my daughter this weekend, the little one. Yeah, I know. We're all a little nervous about that. And there's kind of we have a checklist. And because I can be kind of absent-minded. And so every once in a while, Marnie will check in. Do you have the baby? And moms are appalled by this. Like, they can't even figure out, like, how could you, you know, fill in the blank with whatever word you want to use. Like, how could you be so? And it's true. We're not doing it on purpose. We're just built like that sometimes. We're that dumb. I mean, it just really is. So I had her Friday night, and then Saturday sent her on her way with a friend up to Fargo where Marnie was at, and I survived. Had to change a few diapers that weren't that pretty. I survived, and I said, I don't like this mom stuff. Wow, you guys have a hard job. You do this all the time, like you don't get a break. Man. And so later on during the day, I was walking around the house. I'm like, the baby. Oh, yeah. I don't have her anymore. I totally did. I freaked out. I'm like, what did I do with her? She's not here. Like, yes. Score. Notice God didn't say a dad. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love or can she have compassion? Can she not have compassion for the child that she's born? And God says, but even if that were possible, I would not forget you. So this is God's promise. But he wrapped the promise in a wrapper that we could feel. Could a mom forget her nursing baby? Could a mom not feel compassion for her child? But even if that happened, I'm not going to forget you. Amen? Mothers, remember you, they love you, and they have compassion. You notice that a mom is always thinking about her kids. It doesn't matter if they're grown up and out of the house. Yeah, there's a connection with moms that points us to God. That remembering is the same remembering that God wants to showcase in your life. He wants to remember you constantly and consistently, and does, and we forget that. And he wants to have compassion and love us. So I love that God points to mothers over and over again in ways that we don't often think of, and references that so that we can understand in a way that we can feel. Next verse. A wise child brings joy to his father. Oh, man. A foolish child brings grief to a mother. Why does the father get joy and the mother gets grief? And I think this is very evident of how God's wired us. Do mothers have joy? Absolutely. Do fathers feel grief? Absolutely. So that's not what it's saying. You gotta read it for what it is, and you gotta take Proverbs for the kind of literature that it is. But it's saying that, you know, a dad is usually pouring things into his kid, and you'll see soon that so is a mother. But a dad just gets this, you know, joy and this, you know, and moms do as well. But on the flip side, a dad can have a heavy heart, but who's really going to feel the grief if a child's out there doing things he's not supposed to? I mean, dad's probably going to get mad. Why is he doing that stupid stuff? Why is she being like that? And yes, we're going to feel grief. But you know whose heart's really breaking? Mom's heart's breaking. Mom's heart's breaking. A wise child brings joy to a father, but a foolish child, a child that's not walking with God, the child that's being obstinate, a child that's doing things that aren't the way that we raised you, whose heart is that really breaking? That's breaking mom's heart. God knows that. He sees that. And I just want to tell you, moms, God sees you. He sees your hearts. He references you over and over again. And I know as moms, sometimes you can feel forgotten. Sometimes as moms, you can feel that you're in a thankless job and that, you know, you're trying to pour all of this into your kids and they don't even get it. And I'm saying God sees that. God sees you. You're not forgotten. You're not alone. God sees you. Here's an interesting, I'm going to the point next. I think you'll find this point to be interesting. Mothers teach us that our actions affect others. That verse says, my heart grieves when you do the things that you're not supposed to do. And it's that reflection from a mom's heart that can help us learn that what I do affects people around me. My sin, my arrogance, my foolishness, my pride affects more than just me. And how many times have I said, or have you said, or have you heard, it's my life, I can do what I want, right? And yet moms teach us that, no, you bring grief. Like by your actions, by you doing what, and you're free to do what you want to do. But when you do that, you break someone's heart. And moms teach us that we don't get to just do what we want to do with no consequence. Our lives matter, yes, but our lives also have ripple effects. And also the reverse of that is true. We can also bring joy. We can bring life. We can bring freedom. So, thought that was an interesting one. Easy. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. What are you supposed to do to them? Honor, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. So look at verse 3 here. Here's the promise. Okay, now this is for children, correct? Children, first line there. Children, obey your parents so that it may go well. Children, obey so that it may go well, right? Here's the promise. The promise is for the kids. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. What a glorious promise. And now dads are included on this one too. But since we're talking about moms today, we're going to highlight this. You get to be the platform that honor is poured onto so that kids get to experience God's blessing in their life. That was a mouthful. But you stand in the place, and maybe you might say, well, I don't deserve honor or whatever. It doesn't matter. God has ordained it so that children learn to honor you. And when they learn to honor you, God then begins to pour out a blessing on their life. When children obey their parents and they honor father and mother, they enjoy long life on earth and it goes well with them. We owe it to our children to teach them to honor us So we get to be the vessels that receive honor, which might be weird, but we teach that to our children so that God can pour a blessing into their lives. Okay, well, I know that's a little kind of weird to think about, but we provide a doorway to blessing through honor. We get to be as parents, and it's up to us to teach our kids what that really means. You honor us, not because we're so great or whatever. That's how God set it up. And we get to stand in that place of being honored so that, because what do we really want for our kids? We want them to prosper. We want them to be blessed. If we want to see God's blessing on their life, we're going to teach them to honor us. That's a bizarre thing. And I think, I don't want to step on any toes, but I see a lot of kids a lot of times that don't grow up with that understanding of how to honor their moms and dads, and their lives end up going consistently in bad places. And, you know, I think we really want to, if we really want to see God's good for their lives, that we really want to teach them to honor well and to live out that way. All right. Come on. Click. Proverbs 31. It's the big scary chapter for ladies. Like, who could ever live up to that? God has put chapter 31 there to remind us of the potential that's in every single mama out there. God has put those gifts in you, and that just showcases who He is. And no one's ever going to live up to that perfect chapter in Proverbs. But I love this. She opens her mouth, Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Mamas have this gift to show off the kindness of God in how they teach. Dads teach maybe in different ways. Well, you didn't lose an arm, so you should be glad. Right? 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 Well, that was dumb. Right? Like, and it's true, that was dumb. Mamas teach the wisdom of God through kindness. I don't know if you've ever seen that verse or not, but I thought that was so cool that the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Mamas teach us to walk in the wisdom of God, and one of the doorways that we walk in God's manifest wisdom is kindness. And that sometimes that just gets left in the lap of the mama. She's trying to teach us the kindness, and we walk away from that. We go, yep, mom was kind. And we don't absorb that as kids. But I think it's important that that gets passed on to the kids, that the wisdom of God gets manifest through kindness. And we can do a big study on wisdom and kindness, but it's a cool topic. So number five is they teach us the wisdom of God displayed in kindness. Next verse. We're just about done. For you created my inmost being. Now these next 2 points, there's going to be 2 points, 2 different verses. They're kind of related. And this one is explicitly for mamas, but they teach us a principle that's for all of us. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So here the psalmist is talking about being formed in his mother's womb. There's this incredible interaction that's happening between this person in the womb and God, correct? There's being knit together, and then there's this baby being formed in the inmost place, fearfully, wonderfully made. God, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I was formed in my mama's womb. Meanwhile, the mama's going, I'm pregnant, and my back hurts. I don't know what pregnancy was like for you guys, but I can tell you what it was like for me. I'm just kidding. That's an interesting season, isn't it? Like, Aspen was born July 3rd, right? It got really hot before Aspen showed up. And so I just remember ankles were really big and things were not comfortable. Right? There is a part of that for mamas that is agonizing at times, and depending on the person and whatever. But here you see this incredible picture being painted, and what's missing out of this? It's what's really going on in mom's body at this time? Like, she's getting to be a host for this and a willing participant, but oh my goodness, not so happy right now. And got to go to the bathroom again, right? You create like this whole beautiful story of what God's doing. And the point of this is God uses the pain and discomfort in our life to produce life in other people. That'll preach. You guys feeling any pain in your life right now? Any discomfort? You ever gone through a season where you're just like, I just want this to be over? The greatest way to make that a season that you have to go through again or to get nothing out of it is to focus on you. You'll get to do it all over again because that's not what it's about. And what mamas show us is that this glorious interaction of what God's doing inside of a mama, it's a beautiful, incredible thing. And while mamas feel amazing joy and wonderful, you know, whatever, some days they feel heavy and tired, right? Like, I'm carrying all this extra weight around, my joints hurt, like, what? Fill in the blanks. It's not always bliss for them, and yet God's doing something incredible. And so I want you to just realize that sometimes the discomfort in your own life is meant to produce life in someone else. What you're going through is not always just for you. What you're going through in your life is meant to be for the body of Christ and the kingdom of God to impact the world around you. So use your pain, use your discomfort, use the agony that God has you in right now, and press through that and say, God, who do you want me to speak life into? How are you wanting to use this for your glory? And I think that's a beautiful picture we can take away from mamas, is that in all this pain, something, God is doing something, and it's bringing life. It's producing life, but it's not without cost. It's not without discomfort. It's not without pain. And sometimes God even produces life in us through our pain and discomfort. It tears things out that were killing us or destroying us or keeping us from the fullness of God. Next one is very similar. Look at this. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Children are a gift from God. They are a reward from Him. So children are a what? Gift. They are a gift. They're a reward. Sometimes you might not feel like they're a reward. They're a reward. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. Remember, line one, children are a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from Him. The point is this. There's also often discomfort in the process of God's blessings. God blesses. Are children a blessing from God? Yes or no? Yes. Yeah, they're a blessing from God. They're a gift from God. But from the pregnancy to the birthing to screaming and not getting sleep at night to feeding after feeding to disappointments when they don't listen to, and there is heartbreak after heartache after tough time. Like, it's not all rainbows and unicorns, is it? It's not. But it's a blessing from God. And there's times where you have to remind yourself, okay, He's a blessing. He's a blessing. He's a blessing. He doesn't feel like a blessing. He's a blessing. She's a blessing. Right, honey? She's a blessing. Right? Not that any... I mean, you're laughing because of me. Like, you guys would never feel that way. But sometimes parents get a little frustrated. I was just talking with someone. Let me just go to this slide. Be careful not to see your blessing as curses. You know, every blessing of God has potential for you to see it as a curse. How many of you, like we, you know, there was a thing a while ago, you know, praying for, you know, increase and for promotions and whatever. Like, I've gotten promotions. They're a headache sometimes, right? Like, we see these blessings from as God gives you increase in your life. What about a blessing? What if I won the lottery? Right? Read some of those stories about how that has destroyed people's lives. What if, and fill in the blank, what? And I believe that God blesses our life, but there's temptation because along with blessings comes more responsibility. It kind of messes with my life. Like, it's not the same anymore. And so we're tempted to look at the blessing of God and say, this is a curse in my life. And I just was talking with someone yesterday, and they just said, we purpose in our heart not to see the blessing of God as a curse, because there's temptation to feel that way sometimes. And this person was just going through that in their own life. They're like, this is a blessing. They're like, undoubtedly, there's hands down, there's no argument. This is a blessing from God. Right now, it's feeling like there's more work involved, there's frustration involved, there's unmet expectations. Like, oh, goodness. Like a wife from the Lord. I mean, that's a blessed thing until you have your first fight. And you're like, wait a minute. Who is this woman thou hast brought me? Right? I'm sure I was just getting ready to say, it's Mother's Day. It would only be the men that would correct. You are right. But they're blessings from God, those big oafs. They are. And it's easy to see our blessings as curses. And Satan would love to capitalize on that and steal that blessing from you just to get you to grumble about it. And yeah. We want to walk as a blessed life. Last one. This is it. Proverbs 31. Okay? Proverbs 31 is the big godly woman proverb, right? Proverbs 31. It's about a godly woman. There's all these things she does. She buys and sells and scarlet and no fear for the future. I mean, on and on and on. Things make you sick. Just like, wow, no one's really like that. Right? So it's this heroic chapter, and right plopped in the middle of it, it's talking about godly woman. Wait a minute, how did he sneak in there? There's the big oaf again. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Wait a minute, I thought this was about a godly woman. Why is this about a godly woman, and we're reading about how wonderful her man is? Because it's really about the man. I'm just kidding. Men want you to think it's really about the man. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders, plopped right in the middle of a chapter that is almost exclusively about a godly woman. Why is that verse in there? Mothers make other people better. You know why he's at the city gate? Because she's in his life. She's doing all the work at home. So now that's perfect. Rotten dogs at the city gate, and I'm here vacuuming the house. Now I didn't dig into that interpretation. That could be, maybe that's the proper exegesis of that verse, but we're going to go with mine for now. I like that. And you guys have heard this, it's an old story, and it's cute, but a CEO of a company, big rich CEO of a big famous company, is walking with his beautiful wife on his arm, and they're walking into the company and through the main floor and reception, and there's a guy getting an entry-level job, you know, applying at the reception desk there, and they're walking by, and they both recognize him. The guy kind of goes like that, and the lady kind of smiles, and as they walk along, and they both recognize it's her old boyfriend. And he says, honey, you should be so glad that you married me. And the CEO of this company, wealthy, you're well taken care of, all your needs are met, I'm the man. If you would have married him, you'd be trying to get an entry-level job right now. She said, honey, if I would have married him, he would be the CEO of the company. And I know personally in my life, that's a true story. That is a true story. And there's another version of it where it goes on. It's a little more compassionate version of it where it talks about, you remember when you were taking your finals in college and you wanted to give up, and I'd encourage you to keep going. And you remember when your first three businesses failed and you didn't think you had what it takes. Mamas, you got this ability to call out the best in people. You've got this ability to encourage and to speak life. You've got the ability to change the trajectory of people's lives and bring them into destiny because the image of God that's planted on your life that pours into others. You make people better. We're better people for having you in our lives. So that's our list for today. Mamas, you're pretty amazing creatures. We are all creatures of God. You are amazing creatures of God. Amen.